Resuming our study in the book of Acts, chapter 13, we pick it up in verse 11. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 11, Acts chapter 13, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Talking about a false teacher, a sorcerer, that was trying to influence the governor in this particular area of the island of Cyprus. Paul says this to him, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Verse 12 says, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And so once again, Jesus outmuscled the devil. Paul put an immediate stop to this man's evil influence in the name of Jesus. Evil influences, false teachings, must be dealt with in a straightforward way by the Word of God. If they are not, they will cause more trouble. 13. Now when Paul and his company cast loose from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And later we're going to see that Paul was really upset with John Mark for leaving. You know, he was just a young guy, probably couldn't take the pressure. So he bailed out and went back home. 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. You've heard of the book of Galatians? Well, Paul has just entered the province of Galatia right here, and he's about to plant the churches, which he later wrote to in the book of Galatians. 15. Verse 15 says, and after the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. You know, it was the job of the synagogue ruler to MC the synagogue service. Synagogue rulers did not teach, but they would invite people from the congregation to teach. And the synagogue provided an opportunity for Paul to preach Christ to the Jews. He had their attention. The synagogue was sort of like the TV station and the internet and the radio of the day. Paul used open doors that God provided while they were open. And you can bet if he was alive today, he'd be using the internet to get out the word of God. He'd be using television. He'd be using radio. He'd be using anything he could possibly use to get out the word of God. And that's what we Christians need to do as well. Make use of the open doors God has given us. Verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give attention. The congregation was a mixed bag. There were Jews, men of Israel, and also some Gentiles who feared God. And these Gentiles went to the services, but they didn't adhere to all the laws and the traditions of the Jews. They were not Jews. They were not Hebrew. Well, you know, they were not officially in a Judaism, although they did respect the God of the Bible. 17. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with uplifted arm he brought them out of it. The Jews did not like being slaves in Egypt. But you know, when they looked back at those days, they realized that God used it as a stage to display his power so that everyone would know that he's the real God. 18. And for about 40 years, he bore with their ways in the wilderness. And that's talking about putting up with the Israelites. God endured the rebellion of the Israelites after he delivered them from Egypt. God help us, huh? God help us to say thank you to Jesus by living holy lives for all that he has done for us. It's just so often we do not. Just, you know, we can see the Israelites and how terrible they were to God in the wilderness after he so graciously delivered them from slavery, and they hated it so much. And they said thank you with continual rebellion, and he just put up with it, just as a loving parent stays with their child when they don't do the right thing. Of course, you know, there are consequences to rebellion. But God does not abandon his people. He endures a rebellion today, just as he endured Israel's. He stays with us, tries to get us to learn from our mistakes. 19. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land among them by lot. Israel's years of slavery in Egypt, plus their years of desert wandering, plus the time it took to conquer and distribute the promised land, amounted to about 450 years. It amounted to 450 years. It was a long, hard struggle, longer than it had to be because of their continual rebellion. But God, the Good Shepherd, brought them into their land and gave them the rest that he had promised them. 20. And after that, he gave unto them judges for about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for the space of 40 years. So up until the time of Saul, Israel's first king, human king, God had been Israel's king. And that's really the way God wanted it to be. It was a theocracy. He ruled Israel through his special agents, men like Moses and Joshua and the judges. Consequently, when Israel asked for a king, like all the other nations, they were rejecting God, their king. You know, they wanted the pomp and the ceremony that goes with a human king. So they substitute tinsel for substance. Verse 22. And when he had removed them, he raised up unto them, I should say when he removed him, that would be King Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who shall fulfill all my will, which was not the case with Saul. Israel's first king, Saul, wanted to do things his way. So God removed him and put David in his place. You know, at least David's heart was in the right place. At least he wanted to do things God's way. He was far from perfect, but he had a heart for God. 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. One of David's descendants, Jesus, is the Savior who God promised he would send to deliver us from our sins. 24. John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And of course, it's talking about John the Baptist. Before Jesus, John the Baptist was sent by God to preach repentance to the Israelites. People had to repent before they could follow Christ, and people still do. Jesus won't work for those who refuse to repent. You can't tack Jesus onto your sinful lifestyle. I think that you're going to be saved, because you will not. 25. And as John was fulfilling his course, he said, "Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, the shoes of whose feet I am not worthy to loose." John the Baptist said, "I'm not the Messiah," because people thought he was. Some people did. He said, "I'm not the Messiah, and compared to him, I am nothing." Compared to Jesus, everyone is nothing. We're all nothing compared to Jesus. We're not even close to being in the same league as Jesus. 26. Men and brethren, Paul says, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor did they understand the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Paul says, we Israelites missed our Messiah, and worse, we murdered him. They missed him. They didn't understand the Old Testament. They didn't understand the Bible. So they didn't recognize Jesus. Israel expected the Messiah to be a political deliverer, not someone who needed to die to pay for our sins. 28. And though they found no cause for death in him, yet they asked Pilate that he should be slain. The Jews tried very hard to find Jesus guilty of something deserving death, but they couldn't. Finally, they just quit trying and made something up. Verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. When the Israelites had done everything to Jesus that the Bible predicted they would do, he died. His body was removed from the cross, and he was put in a tomb. But notice verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. The devil couldn't keep Jesus in the grave. You know why? It's because Jesus never sinned. He never sinned. Consequently, death could not hold him, because the Bible says the soul that sins will die. And it's true that he died, but he died for us as our sin offering, not for his own sin. And the good news for Christians is that in Christ, we have been declared sinless as well. Our sins are washed away in Christ, which is why we will eventually be raised from the dead as well. Death cannot hold us, because we are in Christ, who is the sinless Son of God, and we have been declared sinless.